Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got Dane Hyde from DH Custom Baits here in Bismarck, North Dakota, right down the road from me. We've had Dane on before, just this past year, I believe it was, and it was more of an open water conversation. Anyways, just talking about the custom bait painting business, and having Dane back on, you know, this conversation was really just kind of like, you know, I just wanted to have a conversation, a fishing conversation with a buddy and talk about color. I think it's a, you know, it's a really a universal, you know, topic or consideration for anglers. Like even, you know, many of the podcasts that I have or podcast guests that I have on here, we don't spend a ton of time talking about color. I think most professional anglers, if they're educating the listeners, probably color is down the priority list. We talk about, you know, how to find fish, how to trigger fish in lots of different ways. And color ends up a piece of that conversation a lot of times, but never a very big one. And in this conversation, I kind of wanted to make the whole thing about color, where we're not talking so often about specific colors in this conversation with Dane, but a lot of it is just talking about the confidence that anglers get from color, or how often we're considering color. Because I think just about every time you tie a lure on, we're going to have some type of a thought process on what the color of it is. Like you never cast something out or drop it down the hole, and if the person next to you says, oh, what color did you tie on? Everybody knows, you in that moment, you know exactly what color it is, because you've seen it, you thought about it, you chose it. For whatever reason, your fingers grabbed that lure out of the tackle box, and color was one of those considerations that you made. And, you know, I think that even if it's not way up the priority list in terms of, you know, the skill of an angler and how to catch fish, there's a lot of other things that go into having a great day of fishing. But I do think that we think and talk about color in our own boat or in our own fish house or when we're fishing with our fishing partners, you know, way more often. And so I just thought it would be fun. Hopefully people can listen to this and, you know, look in their own tackle box and see what their own confidence colors are, and then go have a conversation with their partners, their fishing partners, you know, just like this, where you're just kind of chatting about why you have confidence in certain situations with certain colors, and it's just fun. I don't know, talking about color, I think, is just fun, if nothing else. And yeah, so big conversation with Dane Hyde here about color and the confidence that we get as anglers, and just how often the consideration of color really, really comes up. And he's a custom bait painter, so we talk a little bit about that, what people's preferences are, kind of the requests that he gets more often, and some of his personal preferences. So yeah, and some great recommendations for lures and colors on specific bodies of water towards the end of this interview. So great stuff with Dane Hyde here. Let's get to it. We're talking lure colors and confidence. Preparing for the upcoming ice fishing season means making great gear choices that will help you maximize your time on the water. That's where Summit Fishing Equipment comes in. The trusted choice for anglers who demand reliable, affordable, and top quality forward-facing sonar gear and accessories for all the major brands, including Garmin LiveScope, Lowrance Active Target, and Hummingbird Mega Live. Check out their bestseller, the Summit HD CNC Shuttle. It's designed to protect your expensive electronics from harsh winter conditions while keeping everything portable for easy transport. You could pair that up with the lightweight yet robust carbon fiber ice transducer pole and the versatile Summit bag to complete the setup. Crafted from advanced carbon fiber, this forward sonar pole is not only incredibly strong, but also the lightest on the market. Their offerings don't stop at just poles and shuttles. Summit Fishing Equipment offers a full range of bags, mounts, and accessories to customize your fishing rig to your exact specifications. So whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, Summit has what you need to improve your experience on the ice. Explore Summit's collection at summitfishingequipment.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Summit Fishing Equipment is also on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Devil's Lake is one of North Dakota's premier outdoor recreational destinations, and to find out more about what the lake and the community of Devil's Lake has to offer, head to devilslakend.com. That link is in the description. Zooloft Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. With a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products, that's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zuloff Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zuloff Construction at their website, zuloffconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast. For anybody that likes to enjoy the outdoor opportunities here in the state of North Dakota, I would recommend the North Dakota Outdoors Podcast, put together by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. This podcast playlist features a variety of entertaining topics, but for anglers specifically, you're going to find episodes that feature biologists and other fisheries department employees that are going to highlight and detail the great fishing opportunities across the state. They also tackle all the hot seasonal topics and feature data and research. So if you're looking for another great source of information about the outdoor opportunities here in the state of North Dakota, check out the North Dakota Outdoors Podcast put together by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. A link to check it out is in the description. Talking about the processes, like, where do we have to start with this conversation of, like, what is sort of the spectrum of the processes out there, like the products, like how much really goes into, you know, putting together a custom painted bait and doing it right, or doing a good job in your mind? Like what's the spectrum of the processes look like out there for you?
You know, if you're doing it, I mean, commercially with an intent to sell, your process has to be pretty clean. And that kind of goes with any industry, whether you're making bread or cars, you know, you got to have that clean process where it's efficient and you get a good product at the end that you are willing to put your name on. If you're not doing it to sell, if you're just doing it for yourself, I mean, you go from guys with, you know, kind of, I would put myself more in that position. I sell a little bit, but I just enjoyed the painting aspect of it too. So my process, the room that I do it in, the booth that I have, is more so than what a long ways away from where I first started with a cardboard box and an open window. but you get guys that just want to do it for themselves, and that's all they need. They need a cardboard box and they need to open a window up. And if clear coat wise, you can use rattle can clear. And if you don't care about the very end product of it, you know, it might scratch up a little easier or might be a little hazier, that clear coat, or not, you know, more brittle than it is. And it can withstand a fish tooth, you know, that kind of case. You direct it to what you're doing, you know? So like mine, I enjoy the process. I sell a little bit, so I want a good product. So I tend to use good products from the get-go. So I always, you know, whether it's the blank that you start with, that's obviously your canvas. So if you start with a name brand with a set diving curve, you kind of know what you're getting out of the box. So does the customer. I try to use good paints. I'm pretty heavy on one brand, but they seem to work well. And then I've, over the years, accumulated some other ones that some I've liked, some I've not liked. Some I wish I could switch the whole batch over to that brand. But they just keep getting better and better. A little bit more expensive, but when they're selling them, you can justify the cost a little bit. And then, I mean, down into the clear coat, if you ask any custom painter, you're probably going to get a different answer each time on what they use. With me painting for a couple of the bigger companies, I always try to keep that tolerance pretty narrow. Just for dive curve stuff, so they needed to swim right as well with that kind of coating on there, and just for testing purposes. So I use like a two-part auto clear that aerosolized, and I get a nice hard coat out of it. It's not the most durable on the end run, but you get to, you know, doing 200-300 lures. I don't want to be spreading out, you know, mid-mixing epoxy and turning them and, you know, babysitting them for a while, making sure the temperature of the room is right. That's where you get into your, you know, what's your cost per lure, how much time do you want to put into it, what's the outcome quality of it. I think epoxy is probably your best as far as durability, but I think your clear coats, your two-part clear coats, your KBS where you dip it or you can spray it, for production-wise, I think that's where the best bang for your buck is.
because you're always going to be compared against, you know, say like, you know, just the retail world, you know, just the mass production, the companies, just the, you know, I'm going to come to you because I have like a, you know, just like an idea or a preference in color that I just can't get off the shelf. But that quality piece, right? Like, you know, somebody like Berkeley, you know, that's pumping out millions of individual lures on every single, you know, of every single category, you know, their business is scaled up so much. So, I mean, do you feel like it's difficult to reach that same level of quality that you get off of the shelf, or like for you personally, when you're doing your own lures or you're, you know, doing lures in your own shop, like is your expectation, you know, even higher than that?
Yep. And like you said, I don't try to match like retail quality. I try to exceed it because I want that guy or gal coming off the ice and going, you know, every name brand lure that I have that I use today, that hooks are rusted out after a day or a weekend, or if we got them in there over the winter, whatever it may be. I don't want to be a part of that conversation. You know, I want to have that quality one from the get go. And then the production of it too. I want it to be a good color. I want it to work for the customer. Something I would believe in. And I hate to sell a gimmicky anything.
Yeah. But I bet you get some crazy requests too. Like,
oh man, I do a kid contest. Holy cow.
Oh yeah, that's right. I think we talked a little bit about that last time, or maybe you're talking about a different one. But looking on your social medias, man, I think that is awesome, man. That is so hilarious. What some of that stuff is.
It's fun, and I do get some crazy other ones from guys wanting them, but they let their kid design it, and it's like I don't want to let that little kid down. I could probably figure it out, and vast majority of the time I can. And generally, if I look at the drawing of it, I can tell you whether it's going to work or not. Just layering of paints and masking off things and the small size of a lure. I mean, you can kind of judge it right from the get go. But some of them are, you know, you start working on a process in your head and you're like, okay, if I do this, this, and this, I think I can do that. And then it's almost a challenge to you. And that's the fun part of the painting still. It's not the, you know, who's wearing my logo on their jersey. It's kind of creating the things that you think are cool, that are fun to look at. And then they catch fish, and then you're really happy about it.
Do you feel like there's a lot of science that goes into that? I mean, you got to be pretty in tune to this. Is there a lot of thought process, like science based, the biology, like how fish react to these colors? You know, talking about how these colors show up in water and different, you know, situations. Like, I'm just really curious of, you know, what some of these specific maybe trends or patterns are in terms of people's requests in different situations. Like maybe you got some stories or personal stories or whatever. Like, again, I'm not trying to dig out anybody's complete secrets, but I'm looking for some good information that might get people's brains turning a little bit more in this conversation around color, because it's such a popular conversation between anglers. You know, I probably don't get enough of it on the podcast, because a lot of people want to talk about finding fish or, you know, triggering fish in other ways. Like, there's just all kinds of technique, and color usually falls down the list of what, you know, a lot of anglers want to talk about, whether they're keeping it a secret or it's just not the most important thing. But it is, regardless of how important it is one of the most popular conversations between anglers and buddies in a boat. It's like, it's a question that every single angler will ask themselves every time they ever go fishing. If they switch from one lure to the other, or if they tie one on in the garage, like, which one am I going to tie on? Color is something that gets considered every single time you tie a knot on the end of your line. And so I'm just sort of curious about that with you, like what the trends are and what the decision-making process is, you feel like, from, you know, just looking back on all the different requests and all the different patterns that you've done in your custom bait painting career.
You know, and when I put my thought into what I'm building, what I think is going to be my inventory for that season, I try to do a good split of like natural colors and then some wild, you know, get your attention colors. And most of that stuff is based just on contrast, you know, and body of water you're fishing, whether it's going to be clear or cloudy. Really from those two categories, you can kind of pick and choose your lures, you know. Secaucus is notorious for blue chrome, You know, it works so well. Whether you hear that from anybody else, but, you know, I don't know. I may be giving away secrets from some people, but it's one of my go-tos for that lake. But it's usually a clear lake, and you got good sunlight. I'm going to pull out some sort of chrome or flashular, or your natural colors. You know, something like rain, like a schmelt color or something like that. And then you get your dirty water, and I tend to go, you know, my darker baits or a darker tiger stripe or a darker dot, something like that, just for that contrast. So it sets against that murky water. And really that's the basis for most of my thought process. When it comes down to the detail of each pattern itself, then my zoology brain kind of kicks in and I start going like almost a little bit of an abstract version of that natural bait fish color. But kind of how I see it in my head, I guess, or how I think a fish is going to see that dark blue on a white background, you know, something like that, where a dot on that white background, maybe they key in on that. That's kind of how I develop any pattern that comes through the booth itself, whether it's a request. I get a lot of requests where it just says, you know, you choose. So then my information that I dig from them is going to be what body of water you fish in, clear, dark, you know, and then kind of go from there. But really it's kind of narrowed back down to those two categories. And that's pretty much where the guy's got to start. And I think that goes with any fisherman too. I think that's kind of where they start too. Confidence color is one of those deals. You get to the river in the spring, and I know we got a mutual friend that if I see he's got a yellow jig tied on, that's what I'm tying on. Cause
yeah,
for whatever reason, that guy can catch fish in the bathtub.
One thing too, and I know this is, you know, you're an angler yourself, and so I don't mind asking, you know, like, you know, the kind of both sides of that coin, your personal preferences, and then also just what you get for requests. But, you know, for years before forward sonar, you know, especially ice fishing, with or without forward sonar, even still to this day, but like, you know, the consideration of like, you know, how color affects how, you know, if you can call fish in, you know, that visibility piece of like, can you move fish with the color and cadence combination or the profile, the size? Like, can you move fish to you that, you know, can you get their attention and move them to you? But with forward sonar, you know, and then especially in open water, but like even, you know, ice fishing, like we're fishing on top of fish so much more now, or we're just so much more aware where these fish are specifically. And so we have the ability to sometimes, a lot of times we talk about, you know, dropping it right on their head. And so, again, that affects that color conversation of what people's confidences are. They're considering other things, but now, that we're more often, or a lot of anglers are more often just trying to get to that point. They're doing all the work so that they can just drop that lure right down on top of that fish. Like how do you feel like that has affected that color conversation? Like does that narrow down the window of what, you know, people have gained confidence in? Does that kind of shrink sort of the catalog of the types of colors that you get requested? Is like people aren't looking for that stuff that can call fish in from 20, 30 feet away anymore. Like we're just so much more on top of the fish. Like how do you feel like forward sonar has affected your industry with you know, painting baits?
I mean, from an overall aspect, open water baits, not the guys that were your consistent trawlers, or were good with some crankbaits down in the water, they've all shifted to forward facing, you know, styles of baits as well, and using that strategy, and whether it's tournament fishing or just out for the day too. But it's definitely affected that side of it, numbers of what I've sold or requests that I get, even just my, you know, friends of mine that are heavy on the tournament scene, what they normally have bought in years past. You know, I mean, they straight up tell me they're not using it anymore because they're doing, you know, using a forward facing sonar type of technology, which I've painted a lot of, you know, Berkeley finishers and jigging wraps and stuff like that too. So I don't think like the industry itself of custom painted baits is going away by any means. I think you're going to see a good shift when it comes to open water to more forward facing style baits, some you can cast at the fish. And I think even then too, you when you do cast, and this happens, I mean, me personally, I'm sure you too, and that fish shies away or swims the other direction and doesn't even, you know, try looking at the bait, do you switch your color or do you switch the profile of the bait itself? And I think both probably have a pretty good hold on that conversation of, you know, right or wrong. I think both can change your success in that situation as well. And that's why you see 7-8 rods stuffed in the front, you know, front rod holder or front bow of the boat. So you can just do a quick switch and go after it with something different. And that's kind of how my mind still works too, is, you know, you get your blue chrome tied up, you got your white tied up, you know, so on down the list. Confidence base for me might be different colors for somebody else, but the same mindset's there of switch color, switch profile. In the wintertime, I don't think it's going to, you know, change much. I don't think it's going to affect it too much because you're going up and down. You got your rattle bait lakes, you got your jig rat lakes, you got your jig and a minnow lakes. I think industry wise, it's safe from the ice fishing world.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I feel like it intensifies in the conversations with ice fishing. Like I can have the same conversation, like myself and then my same buddy that I fish with in a boat, where we can fish all day, and the conversation around color, whatever we're doing, if we're trolling or if we're throwing, you know, jigging wraps at with active target, the conversation around color probably comes up generally a little bit less, but I feel like it intensifies, at least in my world, you know, in my bubble with ice fishing. And I think it kind of comes back to, you know, you're ultimately, right, you're fishing through an 8-inch hole or whatever, you're way less mobile, you contact less fish in general. So if we're like contrasting, you know, open water fishing and ice fishing, like in ice fishing, I feel like that color conversation is so intensified because you're going to get less. Like you're not going to fish over the top of, say, walleyes, for example, even on the best body of water, you're not going to cast that 400, you know, you're not going to have 400 walleyes on a Vexilar in a day, like basically anywhere. Right. Whereas like you're moving in a boat, you can, you know, in certain situations on certain bodies of water, you can test your mettle on that many walleyes in a day. Right.
Absolutely.
But like ice fishing, when you're ultimately going to have that many less chances in a day, and this could be bluegills, crappies, this is any species anywhere with any technique. If you, you know, if you have a jig, even if you're using live bait, but your jig head, the conversation around color, like if a fish comes in and doesn't bite, it hurts. It stings so much more in an ice fishing scenario, because it's like, you just can't count on having another 20 fish come by you in an hour, the next hour. Nope. You know, like it's just, you're stuck down. And it even comes up with set lines. Like, so, you know, nowadays the confidence that a color can give an angler, where, you know, all their dead sticks are small spoons of a specific color, you know, tipped with a live minnow, right? It comes into play with dead sticking. And so it's interesting. I just feel like it intensifies. So I'm curious about what you're, you know, kind of what you get, you know, the conversations that you have around like the ice fishing stuff that you build. Is there a difference like in color preferences with certain anglers that you feel like it's a more specific request when people are asking for, you know, whether it's just like jigging wraps or ripping wraps or something that they're going to use through the ice, versus open water? Like how would you sort of respond to that comment?
The ice fishing world is definitely different. A lot more variety, where if you look at the racks, you know, any big box store, there's crankbaits for miles and similar colors, iterations, whatever they may be. Ice fishing is wild, because you need glow now too, and then you got your red glow and blue glow, and some stuff's tungsten, and it's kind of a goofy world. What it's evolved into, DH Custom Baits has evolved into as well too, because I focus more on one area. I was like Winnipeg, that was 99% of my business. And up there, we all know that big rattle baits kind of take the cake a lot of the times. In years, just the most more recent years, you see more, you know, spoon bites kind of fire up as well. But that conversation is there between other anglers, that now there's now there's good communication back and forth. What's working, you know, guys that use guides or whatever, and guys have been pretty awesome up there too about, I mean, telling the general mass public what to bring. So that's made a lot easier for those guys as well. But you go, I mean, in North Dakota, you got your bluegill, you got your perch, and walleye is probably going to be your predominant, but probably tied neck and neck with perch, to be honest. The predominant fish that most anglers are going after. And there's a variety of different lures that you can catch them on. You know, there's guys that they got to have a little blade pad above their jig on their dead stick. And it's from that point to what they use the jig fish in, or what they use to kind of put the nail in the coffin. Everybody's a little different. So variety is kind of the name of the game when it comes to ice fishing.
Devil's Lake is one of North Dakota's premier outdoor recreational destinations. And to find out more about what the lake and the community of Devil's Lake has to offer, head to devilslakend.com. That link is in the description. Zooloft Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. With a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products, that's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zooloft Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zooloft Construction at their website, zooloftconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast. For anybody that likes to enjoy the outdoor opportunities here in the state of North Dakota, I would recommend the North Dakota Outdoors Podcast, put together by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. This podcast playlist features a variety of entertaining topics, but for anglers specifically, you're going to find episodes that feature biologists and other fisheries department employees that are going to highlight and detail the great fishing opportunities across the state. They also tackle all the hot seasonal topics and feature data and research. So if you're looking for another great source of information about the outdoor opportunities here in the state of North Dakota, check out the North Dakota Outdoors Podcast, put together by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. A link to check it out is in the description. Preparing for the upcoming ice fishing season means making great gear choices that will help you maximize your time on the water. That's where Summit Fishing Equipment comes in. The trusted choice for anglers who demand reliable, affordable, and top-quality forward-facing sonar gear and accessories for all the major brands, including Garmin LiveScope, Lowrance Active Target, and Hummingbird Mega Live. Check out their bestseller, the Summit HD CNC Shuttle. It's designed to protect your expensive electronics from harsh winter conditions while keeping everything portable for easy transport. You could pair that up with the lightweight yet robust carbon fiber ice transducer pole and the versatile Summit bag to complete the setup. Crafted from advanced carbon fiber, this forward sonar pole is not only incredibly strong, but also the lightest on the market. Their offerings don't stop at just poles and shuttles. Summit Fishing Equipment offers a full range of bags, mounts, and accessories to customize your fishing rig to your exact specifications. So whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, Summit has what you need to improve your experience on the ice. Explore Summit's collection at summitfishingequipment.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Summit Fishing Equipment is also on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. It moves itself up the priority list just because some of your just capabilities just get eliminated with mobility.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like in comparison to being in a boat, you know, the obvious difference of like motoring around in a boat and covering miles and miles of water. But you know, also the season changes. And so the fish patterns and how to seal the deal, how to put the nail in the coffin with each individual fish is always a different conversation. And it's just, you're always going to have so many fewer. And this is a blanket statement, like whether you're a bluegill, crappie, perch guy, or you're fishing or you're jig fishing, pike, walleyes, you know, whatever it is, like it's each individual encounter with the target species is like a much more, you know, intense encounter. And it's just that much more heartbreaking if you just get stuck in a rut where you're just not getting bites. You know, you're seeing those fish come in and go away, And it's like, yep, the color is one of those things that you can control, but it's like, I guess for you, do you feel like on what level is it psychological? Like with ice fishing, we got to have so many more colors, 'cause it's like the one thing that we can control. It's the one thing that we can, if some fish comes in and denies us, if we don't want to go through that heartbreak again with the next fish, like, or, you know, if we want to fish with confidence, like one of the things that, you know, you can do is just tie on another lure, even if it's the exact same, you know, make, model and profile, you know, just do something that's a color change. Yep. It's just going to help you fish with a little bit more confidence and optimism. Like, I mean, that's just like a definite factor, I feel like.
Well, and that goes into the old adage of, I'd rather have it and not need it.
Yeah.
And need it and not have it too. So that, you know, a fish turns away, that first fish of the day, and you go, okay, did they like the lure, color? Did I jig too fast? Like, all those things run through your head. For me, usually color is a quick change too. Or jig, you know, just changing your jig cadence. But all those factors come into it right at the end. And you know, whether you're successful or not is pretty cut and dry. That fish didn't bite, or the fish didn't. And that's the cool thing with forward facing, or even, I mean, Vexilar, you can see that fish as it's coming up off the bottom. Is it quick to the lure? Is it slow and steady? You try to read that, the psychology of the fish and the actions of the fish to make your next move, your educated next move, hopefully.
Yeah.
And whether that's color, or, you know, changing spots, you know, and that, like you said, you're just less mobile. It's cold out. You maybe got the kids with, and you got the hub popped up already.
Oh yeah, man. There's so much psychology that goes into it. That's like such a big part of the conversation. Is like, just how are we capturing our confidence, and what's it worth to you?
Right.
Because we don't all have enough. We don't all have enough time to fish as much as we wish we did. You know, and then the other reality too is that, you know, like for me, doing these podcast interviews, a lot of times I'm interviewing professional anglers or people that have some sort of a living in the industry that they fish a lot. And so that conversation, like, it's less heartbreaking to, you know, whiff on an opportunity on a big walleye when you get to fish every week.
Right.
You know, or multiple days a week or whatever it is. But so many people that listen to this podcast are, you know, people that are working really, really hard. And like you said, they got their families, and they look forward to, you know, one Saturday afternoon every other week, you know. Yep. And
barring any weather.
Yeah. And then the weather kicks in. Next thing you know, you get one good outing, you know, on a, you know, where you really get to get after it, you know, once a month. And it's like, man, that stuff really stings if you just aren't fishing with confidence and you just don't feel like you're bringing your A game. But, you know, that's where I think, like, when you go fishing with your buddies, like for me, man, even if we aren't willing to like say it out loud because we don't want to sound stupid or whatever it is, color is a consideration 100% of everybody's outing fishing, like even the pros. I truly believe that. Like even, you know, like I don't know anybody that has, you know, an ice fishing tackle box of, you know, tungsten jigs or spoons or whatever, where they're 100% just lead colored.
Yep.
You know, like everybody has some type of a selection of color in their box. And there's a spectrum to that too. Some people just know how to fish with confidence without getting too wound up over the color deal. And that's a big part of it too. There's probably a lot of us out there that have too many colors and it just keeps our heads spinning. But a color is a fun, and it's just entertaining too. Like, you know, some people might not have an issue with fishing with confidence, but at the same time, that color piece is kind of a fun conversation because everybody knows what it's like to, you know, get to the end of the day and, you know, feel like everybody's seen just as many fish as the next guy on their Vexilar or whatever it is, you know, but somebody won the day. There was some lure that won the day. That's a fun thing to have beers at the end of the day. You're cleaning fish and somebody gets to kind of feel like they were the top dog and talk about why that particular lure was giving them so much confidence. Right. And it's like, and the color, it's like, oh man, that orange. And you'll never forget that. Right. And that when that happens early on in your career, you will never go fishing again without that lure and that color.
Like, no, you can almost probably never track all your buddies leaving there. And they're going straight to the store to buy that color jig.
Exactly. And, you know, that's why I just think that it's just fun. It's super entertaining. But I don't know. I want to spend maybe a few minutes, maybe get some recommendations from you, man. Like, if somebody is going to Winnipeg this year you know, and all the baits that you've ever painted, all the information you've ever got, you know, about Winnipeg, what are the big considerations going to Winnipeg, and maybe give us a, you know, sort of a color pattern on a couple of baits that you would recommend for Winnipeg that you feel like have just been great in your experience in the past?
My absolute number one still to this day from 12 years ago is still Snooty Patootie, named after my buddy's daughter. It was her nickname. Gave it to her for her birthday. He ended up putting hooks on it. We went up to Winnipeg that year and he caught a 32, I think, on one of the first few minutes we were there. And that pattern has stuck, and it's put a lot of fish topside for a lot of people up on Lake Winnipeg, even around here. But still, it's known up there. It's kind of cool, a little bit of a legacy built into a lake that I've only got to fish a few times. But all of a sudden, this lure that I had that I was painting in the basement is absolutely destroying fish up there. That one, number one. Anything, and then I look at the water. So it's after that, I kind of go back to my non-nostalgic brain. But anything where it's murky water, so you want some darker colors sometimes, some brighter colors. If you do find cleaner water, ample opportunity to throw down some chrome, some something shiny. Chrome blue has been really good up there as well. But then again, I mean, quick on your feet. If they shy away from a big rattle bait, you should have a spoon, a PK spoon, or some of the other big names up there. Pelican, I think, has quite a few good ones. But have that, you know, double barrel action, one rod this, one rod that. But your glows, your hot pinks, oranges do pretty well as well. And then, you know, a couple of chrome colors. If you are setting up and you got a good sunny day, not a bad idea to have that down there.
And what's the Snooty Patootie? What's that look like?
Pink top, pink bottom, and then kind of purple and like a golden yellow dot. So again, contrast with my kind of idea with that bright color on a white background and then dots in there.
And what about, gosh, I mean, do you know, the potholes of North Dakota, right? Like, you know, you're a North Dakota guy, I'm a North Dakota guy. Everybody around us, like me included, I love fishing walleyes, especially on the sloughs, but like the perch and walleye guys here in North Dakota, what are just some of the, you know, the top winners in your mind, you know, the baits that you paint and just a couple of color scheme recommendations?
Typically your threes and fours for like a rip and wrap are pretty popular. But I didn't get those blanks until a couple of years ago, and I only ordered a few just to see if they would actually sell. They were gone immediately. So I got quite a few more of those for this year. But your threes and your four little rattle baits, size wise, I think that's perfect for a perch. If they're going to eat, they're definitely going to eat a rip and wrap. To have to coax in 15 of those things with a little jig and a plastic waxy or something, be fairly frustrating. So I like those big reactionary rattle baits. They're the smaller ones, I guess, for the perch. But those are kind of my go-tos. That's my first drop down the hole, especially in pothole lakes. And I typically have some sort of spoon, probably closer to more to the smaller size since you're in shallower water anyway. If you're in deeper, then you can kind of go to like a buckshot. Style rattle spoon. They got a good roll to them in the water as well for action, and then that fish calling ability where you can call them in with a little bit of a rattle chamber in there. Maybe even fire them up with that too. Those are kind of my go-tos. As far as colors go, are typically your more natural colors. I like my natural perch. Anything with, you know, a little silver with the shad dot on there. Fire Tiger, it's going to be tried and true for decades past when we're gone. I think Fire Tiger is still a fantastic color. It's got that good contrast, bright colors. But I'm just always kind of ready for that situational type fishing too. Whether if it's a sunny day out and we got a clear lake, then I'm going to be throwing on some chrome stuff, some shiny, and my northern pike. Hopefully they don't come in.
Yeah, I'm asking for a friend. Is there any colors out there that pike tend to avoid?
I don't think so.
Like, what things that you do for your customers to ensure they're not going to get bit off by a 2-pound pike? Man, if you could discover something like that, you'd be a billionaire.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. Think about, you know, you make a point there. And I think you definitely made this point last time. I wasn't even looking back on any notes or anything, but it kind of triggered my brain. There's something that I took away from you last time that was just sort of, you just helped me with the perspective on it. But, you know, you were just talking about the reactionary style baits, that's probably where the color conversation revolves around more so than like the subtle finesse, small, tiny jigs, because that surface area, like, I think this is what you said last time too. We were talking open water last time, most specifically, but like just in general, when we're having this conversation around what your color preferences are, you know, the size of the bait, you know, the bigger the bait, there's just more color. There's just more of that the fish are looking at. That's probably where things intensify a little bit too, right? I mean, that's a big part of it. Like if you're using a micro jig, the color of it is so much less of a thing because it's so tiny in its own right. I'm just sort of curious what you would say to that completely, because I'm sure you've probably maybe had some requests about people, you know, that want to have a 3-millimeter tungsten jig colored with, you know, yeah, like a fire tiger or just something, you know, how do you get like something tiny, really, really tiny painted a certain specific way, you know, like could that even possibly matter whatsoever? You know, hardly, you know, from a custom standpoint, but the bigger baits have more meaning in the color conversation, right?
100%. Yep. And if you have more surface area to look at and design and you know, put detail on, and the bigger the bait, probably the more fun, because you can do all that stuff. And then stencil come into play as well. Sometimes they're just too big for the bait itself, from a painting aspect. But I like those bigger baits, and even back into the fishing idea of it too. Sometimes you size up and trigger that bite rather than size down, where they follow it and study it and end up, you know, ultimately not biting or not eating it.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I enjoy it. I love these conversations. It's like color is just like, it's such a fun, or it's such a, man, like I can't think of a situation that I've ever been in fishing walleyes or perch or, you know, going over to Minnesota and bass fishing or panfish, like every single time, you know, an angler decides they're going to switch up and retie, they have the thought, whether it's out loud or in their own head, but like the thought around color, you know, the color conversation happens really like, the batting average of 1,000 every time you go out. And I just feel like, a lot of times the conversations on this podcast, I just don't address color enough, or I probably ask it almost to a nauseating extent for a lot of the pros that I talk to, because, you know, they want to, you know, there's other things, you know, other teachable things, you know, other topics that are probably more meaningful that would get people ahead in their fishing journey. Right, like getting better at fishing and finding fish. There are probably bigger topics that are more meaningful that we can, you know, cover and talk about. But after talking to you last time, I just really enjoyed the feedback, and it just sort of gave me that realization that, like, for nothing else, it's one of the most entertaining, you know, little conversations that people can have. It's like if you, you know, when you, like I said, you know, just the thought, the memories of a good day of fishing with your buddies or your family, you know, your dad, your kids, whatever, you go to the cleaning shack or you go home and you're cleaning fish and you're talking about a couple of the most fun bites that you got that day. Somebody's gonna sing the praises of a bait and the color of it. And wow. And then you're never gonna go fishing again. You're never gonna go back and do that thing and fish that memory. You're never going to go to another body of water without having that confidence bait with you, you know, forever and always. And every chance you get to tie it back on, And the more great days of fishing you have with different lures, the more confidence baits you have, you know, that as your arsenal really builds up and you have all the, but you know, you start to formulate those opinions of like, man, this color or this color scheme on this particular style of bait has been phenomenal for me, you know, in multiple situations. And it just, you know, like the, you know, color. But then when we get, then when they get so far as to be on my podcast and I say, hey, what are your favorite colors? And they're like, you know, like Jason Mitchell, man, like he's like the worst one. He hates talking about color. He's like, you know, I'd rather fish in the right spot at the right time and have the wrong color. I'm still going to catch fish. And I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, but talking about color is fun. You know, it's like talking about colors, it's a good time. Yeah. And then like when you do dial in the color, when you do feel like anyways, what right or wrong or otherwise, when you do tie on a certain color and of a specific bait and all of a sudden you are just, you feel like you're crushing it. Like, man, you just got to let those juices flow and let it happen. And it's okay to have that color as a confidence color moving forward. You almost got to be searching for that. So I don't know, like, I just find it to be interesting. I find it entertaining. I know anglers, you know, just there's hearing other people's, you know, hearing like from you, you're someone that does it. You've colored a lot of cool things, man. I just love scrolling through your Instagram and stuff and just kind of seeing some of the baits that you produce. It's like so impressive. But then hearing about the process and that there's kind of a good, better, best out there as far as like when you're getting a custom bait versus buying retail, you know, quality things, like, you know, the process, you know, those of us that don't know or understand the process got to realize that comes out in the end product. That comes out, you know, a bait can be painted and look cool and catch an angler's eye, but you might put it in your tackle box and it might take you a few trips to get around to using that thing. You open up that tackle box and all the paint's just completely wore off of it before you even have a chance to use it. Or you catch three or four, you know, toothy critters, you know, you catch a couple of pike or a couple of big mouth walleyes or whatever. And all of a sudden you realize like half of that bait is just completely chipped off. And like all that, you know, all that confidence color is gone at that point. And you know, so it comes out in the value and quality of that product. And so hearing from you that you've gone through the paces and you've kind of evolved and you know, yeah, it's kind of that labor of love where you know, it's you can justify the cost of some things if you're selling some stuff, but sometimes you just gotta want to make it good for yourself, and you just want to find out what the best is. And, you know, I don't know. I think that that's an interesting sort of realization too, when we talk about custom colors, cause there's a ton of guys out there, you know, and it's a fun little thing. If you're thinking about, if people think that they've got confidence in colors and they don't find it at their retail store, or if a color gets discontinued, right, that's a big one. You get a bait, you can buy the bait, but the, you know, that color gets discontinued from that brand and it's like, oh man, you know, what am I going to do now? You know, it's almost like watching your confidence drive on down the road saying goodbye. It's never going to come back. It's like, you know, you've got great options out there. You get in touch with somebody like you, you can paint that sucker right back up. But it's like, you know, just trying to achieve that confidence and the conversation around color, I just think it's such a popular one. So it's just kind of fun. But
it is. And you see that the conversation nowadays too, you go in any old bait shop or hear the guys talking and say, oh, I caught him on this. And then the next question almost inevitably is going to be a certain color.
Yep.
And that guy's going to have an answer, whether it's a non-answer to throw his buddy off, or he's going to say, no, it had to be chartreuse and silver original floater. You know?
Yep.
And number 9, number 11 was too big. So all those factors are coming together, but that color is still a big aspect of it.
Yeah.
Regardless of forward facing sonar, regardless of any new technology that comes out, you still have to have that option for the fish.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And as we head into deeper into this ice season, yeah, I just think that, you know, that's that thing with ice anglers. Like, it just intensifies itself because you don't have the ability to run through 300-400 fish in a day cruising, covering water like you are in a boat. And so, and when your opportunities to fish are limited and you're not fishing under the best conditions or the best day, the fish aren't super, super bitey, Like the conversation around color can just give you that little edge of confidence to fish with confidence, but also that, just that legitimate, like meaningful to the fish type of bites where, you know, just having enough options to give the fish that you are seeing. And when you do land on something where that color, all of a sudden you just drop that, you know, you drop that orange tiger down and you haven't had anything orange down yet that day. And all of a sudden you just go 10 for 10 after that. It's like there's a lot to that. And those are fun conversations to have, and conversations that I love to hear about when I'm talking fishing with people is like, what'd you catch them on? What was the color? What was the deal? So I appreciate you having time to talk about some of the trends and things that you like. And yeah, man. And I don't know if you're going to get out a whole lot. You and I were both talking before this. We got young kids, so time is a little bit limited in our households. But definitely keep in touch, man. If you get out anywhere nearby you need somebody else to check a couple other spots out there, I'll try to be available for you, man.
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm planning on getting out quite a bit more this year. I finally took the dive and got a four-wheeler, and my oldest is old enough to kind of weather the situation regardless, and he loves fishing, so I'll get him out a lot more. That pushes me to go out a little bit more too. So, but yeah, if we're in the area, you're on the call list.
Yeah, man. Well, that's a wrap. We're really good on time.